The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. There are several new innovations being explored and applied in the different levels of consciousness, be it in the physical, emotional, mental, and/or spiritual realm. We will explain and compare these new healing elements to help improve the quality of life for you and your loved ones. Now, here is Dr. Michael Cudlis.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Speaking of Health. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. And our regular listeners know I'm a Kalamazoo chiropractor. I've been in practice for over 31 years. I live in the best city in the world, Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's the only city that I know of where if your child goes to the public schools in Kalamazoo, graduates, Kalamazoo Promise will guarantee them a four-year college education to any Michigan college that they wish to attend to. That's a public education facility. The Kalamazoo Promise. Kalamazoo is a great place to live, and I'm real happy to be here. Now, as you know, on Speaking of Health, what we do is we talk all about health. And by that, I mean we're looking at the health balance, rest, exercise, good nutrition, positive mental attitude, chiropractic care, which is spinal integrity. And we look at you and the human as a multidimensional being, one that's physical, emotional, mental, unconscious, and spiritual. And recognizing that all of those need to be in balance if that person truly is to be considered a healthy individual. Any one of those things out of balance? Well, they're not as healthy as they should be. More importantly, they're not as healthy as they could be. I'm not somebody that believes we are brought onto the planet to be sick and to suffer, but actually to express ourselves and to learn and to optimize who we are as a soul in this universe. And so when we come here, Earth actually becomes a school. And it's one in which we're in classes 24/7, 365 days a year. And so today, I thought we would be talking about positive mental attitude. And along with that, we have one of the greatest people that I know to talk to us about that. His name is Russell Bishop. He's the former executive editor of the Huffington Post. But I think, to me personally, more than that, he has developed programs for human development that have touched over 2 million people across the planet. And he's a Fortune 500 consultant. He's worked with businesses on optimum productivity. He has a book which we'll talk a little bit about. But this is a guy that's in service to mankind. And he does it with a loving heart. He does it with a generosity of spirit and an absolute integrity as a man who is committed to bringing out the finest in each and every one of us. Russell, I want to say, well, from here it's good afternoon. Where you're at, it's good morning, correct?
Aloha. Yes, indeed.
What time is it?
It's 7 a.m. here in Aloha Land.
Uh-huh. And I suppose it's probably depressingly sunny and warm and breezy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't think I'll get any sympathy points for complaining about being in Hawaii.
Well, congratulations. I think that's wonderful to be in our 50th state. We just finished with some rain and dreary weather here in Michigan, but the strange yellow orb we occasionally see in the sky called the sun is supposed to be out here this afternoon. So we'll be looking forward to that. I have some grass seed I need to plant. So give us an idea of how you got committed to your life path. I mean, it's one in service in all aspects, and yet you serve business, you serve individuals, you seem to be serving mankind. How did you do that?
Great question, Michael. Thanks for that. If I go back to the 60s, and I'm 67 myself, so you'll see a time scale here. But back in the 60s, I was very, very concerned about social justice and social equality, that kind of thing. I was heavily involved in helping create the first educational opportunity program, which were a series of grants to various minority students, as they were called at the time, so people of color, basically. And that interest wound up having me involved in various student strikes. So we remember the days of On Strike, Shut It Down, All Power to All People, and I was one of those with the long hair and the beard and whatnot. And one particular day, I got hit by a tear gas canister, and we were all instructed, well, pick it up and throw it back. So they never tell you it's going to be really hot. So I picked this thing up to throw it back, and I had this momentary experience. And anyone who's listening, just imagine that wherever you're sitting right now, find the furthest most corner in your ceiling from where you're sitting, and imagine that you're up there and you could look back and see yourself. And that's what I experienced in this moment. I could watch me from a short distance, and I could hear myself, and I'll clean it up for the radio, screaming, "Why don't you jerks love us?" And then all of a sudden, boom, I was right back inside my body again with this wave of awareness coming across me that said, oh my goodness, the message is peace, love, and care, and the strategy is yell, scream, and throw things. And so you can imagine the disconnect, disconnect, disconnect that just went roaring through me. Dropped the tear gas canister, left the strike line, went to a friend's apartment, cut my hair, shaved my beard, and spent an hour staring at the mirror asking myself, who are you, really? And that's what led me to this life that you're talking about. Is how we cannot fight for peace. We have to be the peace. We have to be the loving. We have to be the caring. So that's the short version of how I got where I am. Now, there's many iterations thereafter, but that's kind of the seminal point for me.
And from that point on, then, it sounds like this was a life-changing experience. You had some sort of epiphany, if you will, even. And so then that took you into, like, human commitment. How can I help? I mean, it was still social justice, but yet it took you into working with Fortune 500 companies and helping them increase their bottom line, and the development of personal growth seminars. And how did you kind of shift into those things? Because when you think about, here you are throwing tear gas canisters back, that's a long ways away from working with Fortune 500 companies. No?
Quite a bit. And you know, spirit has a way of lining events up, and it's always interesting to try to figure out, well, now, why did this show up in my life? So just at that point in time, I had been accepted into a graduate program in history at Johns Hopkins University, and I was supposed to study with the chairman of the department, David Donald, who was going to be on sabbatical. So he wrote me a lovely letter, which I still have, and it said, here's a full fellowship to come study. You just can't come next year because I'm going to be gone. So it's an open ride whenever you want it. So take the next year, do anything you want. So I asked myself what I've never have considered doing in my life, and the answer was working for one of these rip-off corporations, as I was thinking of them back at the time. And so I wound up applying for and being accepted into a position at Pacific Telephone, part of the Ma Bell network at the time. And here I was coming in to sort of spy on the enemy, if you will.
You came in with a little attitude, I take it.
A tiny bit. So that then put me onto the awareness track that these were actually people, surprisingly. There was no such thing as the corporation. They were just folks. And they had all the same issues of everything I'd ever seen or experienced with anybody else. And like most people, none of us ever got any training in how to deal with our issues. So that caused me to redirect. I went back to my friends at UC Davis, where I did my undergraduate work, and I wound up enrolling there in a master's degree program in educational psychology. And that was there because I wanted to study and learn how do groups change and transform. Wound up creating my own programs because those kind of programs didn't exist at the time. And when I came out of that, I hesitate to say academic work because it was really large group experiential programs that I went through, it occurred to me that I could become a facilitator of those kinds of programs. I did some work for a few training companies, and then in 1978, I wrote a letter to my spiritual teacher, a guy named John Roger, saying, hey, you know, these people studying spiritually are doing really great spiritually, I imagine. I have no way of knowing, but boy, they're sure struggling with the day-to-day world. How about if we put on some seminars that show people how to live in the integrity of their spiritual life, but how to translate that into a practical spirituality where a life can be lived that's full of integrity, accountability, responsibility, choice, awareness, loving, but a seminar series that won't have any dogma in it, something that anybody could benefit from, regardless of a spiritual perspective they might have in life.
So,
and that led to Insight Seminars coming into existence in 1978.
Now, okay, so give us a little bit of Insight Seminar dogma, if you will, and that's the wrong term. But, I mean, you came up with this idea of how do we help people live better on the planet, basically.
Yes.
And this led to, and this was from the education that you got on group psychology?
Yeah, I mean, those were terms that just were not around at the time, but I picked the education department as opposed to the clinical. I started out on clinical, but I quickly discovered that's not where I wanted to be. I wanted mm-hmm. to do something that was about learning, and I read a book by Fritz Perls, considered the father of Gestalt psychology. And in his seminal book, Gestalt Therapy Verbatim, there's a little line that just woke me up in a huge way, and it said, simple awareness can be curative.
Ah, okay.
Simple awareness can be curative. Now, here was a man who was a trained psychoanalyst in all the classic forms who quit doing psychoanalysis because, as he said, you know, after 7 years of psychoanalysis, most of my patients had well-analyzed problems. Exactly.
Okay.
So now we have 7 years of even more reasons to have the problems. So
geez, it sounds like make work.
Yeah, pretty much. But what he was doing with people was facilitating awareness through guided questions. What are you experiencing? Where did that come from? Is that what you'd like to be experiencing? Well, what choices do you have about that? And he developed a whole approach, which I'm doing a very bad job of summarizing right there. But that led me to create seminars that were based on facilitating awareness, not in establishing a point of view and arguing for it.
And so was that the idea that most people have the answers within themselves to their own happiness? It's merely a matter of discovering them?
Well, yeah, and it's discovery suggest that we're going to discover something, and awareness is simply saying we're going to notice.
Which well, okay, is like yeah, all right, right.
Splitting a hair, perhaps.
Okay.
But Lewis B. Carroll did us all the favor of writing this with Alice in Wonderland. And as she's talking to the Cheshire Cat and says, which way should I go? And the Cheshire Cat, of course, says, well, where did you want to go? And she says, well, I don't know. And so he said, well, then any road will do.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in her little dilemma. And most people know that part. But the next thing she said was, well, I have to get somewhere. And the Cheshire Cat said, and surely you will. And so one of the basic elements inside of an insight seminar and inside of life, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. But every road leads someplace. The problem is it's not usually direct. So we come to a fork in the road. How do we choose? Oh, I don't know. You choose, or I don't care, or I'll flip a coin. And then we get to the next fork of the road, and I don't know. You choose, flip a coin. And 32 forks in the road later, we go, what's this? And as a facilitator, I'd say, well, it's what you chose.
Yeah.
I did not. I did too. No, wait a minute. Well, how did you get there? You made the choices necessary, but you didn't start out choosing this. This is just a result or a consequence of choosing. So the real question then becomes, well, what would you prefer to be experiencing?
When we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, I keep thinking of when you come to a fork in a road, you know, you do the Yogi Berra, you just take it. But let's come back and talk about picking the fork that works the best for us. And we'll do that when we come back. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis. This is Speaking of Health. And we're with, I would say, expert change merchant Russell Bishop. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Are you, a loved one, or someone you know living with a traumatic brain injury? For the latest cutting-edge information and services, tune in to Brain Train with host Gail Taylor. Our program will showcase the different services available for cognitive rehabilitation and behavior therapy, as well as talk with the professionals, families, and recipients of these services to keep you up to date on the latest developments. Brain Train can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hi, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here. We're speaking with Russell Bishop today. For me, it's a fascinating conversation. He's really an interesting guy. And I can remember way back in 1981, I mean, this is last century, you know. It gives you an idea that I'm a little bit older than dirt. But back then, I took a seminar called Insight One, and it was one of the seminars that Russell Bishop had developed that he's been talking about today. And indeed, I can tell you from personal experience, it was a life-changing experience for me. I had never experienced anything even remotely close to this in my life, and it set me on a path which has led me to today, and one that I've been very proud to be on, very happy to be on, very pleased to be on. And, you know, on the break, I told Russell, I really appreciate that seminar that I took. And I was just thanked him very profoundly. So, Russell, give us a little information about Insight One. I know when I took the seminar, it had this kind of unusual second title. It was Insight One, The Awakening Heart. And yet there was business stuff in there and different things. Tell us how this came about. Why that name?
Well, thanks. First of all, you have to remember that I'm born and raised in California, so saying The Awakening Heart in 1978 was pretty natural, although anybody in the East Coast probably broke out in hives hearing it. But the words are chosen very specifically. First of all, it's about the heart. Not about mind, emotions, or body. There were plenty of those seminars running around, confronting people in their mind, confronting people in their emotions, doing betrayal of the body work, and this, that, and the other thing. But I wanted to do something that was heart-focused. And when most people think of heart, if they're going past this beating organ, they think about love, care, peace. So, heart. I used the term often, the wisdom of the heart, which at the time was about as woo-woo as you could get. But today, we fast forward, and there are fields that include one called neurocardiology, because the cardiologists and the neurologists have discovered that there are actually bundles of neurons that are resident in the heart. And this discovery is only a couple years old. But what it indicates is that the heart actually generates thought. And there is more information moving from the heart to the brain than there is from the brain to the heart, and that's just data and science. You can Google it and read about it.
I think
when
that's quite
similar. The heart back then, it was sort of a subjective call, if you will. Well, today it's objective, so it's
scientifically documented. In fact, and
hugely. You can go back another 10 years before that, and the neurologist discovered bundles of neurons in the gut. And so literally when you say, God, my gut tells me, it is. Because there's actually a source of thought there, which we might better call intuition.
Yes. And we work with that a lot. In fact, in my field of chiropractic, we have a technique called neuroemotional technique, in which we recognize the nerve interference, the irritations that have been stuck in the body, and through our life experience, and we have ways of releasing them. And one of the papers that I've done for the neuroemotional people was called Brain in the Gut, or we referred to it as the big subluxation. And the way to working on that was been very transformative for people. It's been just so helpful, and I think it points out, when we look at the multidimensional human, just like you were talking earlier with Alice in Wonderland, there's not a single path, but it depends the path we're on, what happens as we walk along there. If we're dealing with heart issues or whatever, we're still dealing with human issues. And so when you got back to doing the Insight transformational seminars and the Awakening Heart, how did you indeed decide on what to add as the teachable material, the experiential reference points that people were going to do?
Well, great question again, and it follows from what I was mentioning earlier about reading Fritz Perls and spending a lot of time in the Gestalt psychology world, again, questioning, focused, simple awareness can be curative. And then it dawned on me one day that this was a process of awakening, hence the awakening heart. Now, if I've got a room full of people and I'm describing this, so I'll say this to your listeners, if something awakens, what was it before that? Well, it was asleep, of course. But here's the really interesting question. If something is asleep, what was it before that? Awake. And so if awakening is taking place, it's not about becoming different. It's not about you have to change anything. It's what I call the other subtext for Insight 1, the Awakening Heart, was becoming more of who you already are. A lot of trainings existed and still do that tell you you have to be different, you have to do or become this or do or become that. And my work is all about discover who you are as an awakening process. And you'll start to make choices that are better for you. So if I fast forward to today, when people ask me what I do for a living and if I get that they really want to know, I say the following. I help people get what they think they want as fast as possible so I can then ask them, was that it?
Okay.
How many times have people struggled to get something, worked their little tail off, got it, and then wondered why the heck they ever wanted it?
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the real question. There's their object of focus, you know, or money, house, car, whatever. And then there's the positive experience we hope will become true if we get enough of the money, house, job, car. Except rarely does the money, job, house, car produce the experience we seek. So Insight was about distinguishing those two broad gaps, the things we focus on versus the experience we hope for. And as soon as that becomes more clear, then choices start to emerge, both retrospectively, and we go, oh, goodness gracious, that's why I chose that. As well as looking forward and saying, oh, look at that, there's choices I never saw before.
Now, how does that translate into working with Fortune 500 companies, or is it a whole different thing?
Different in exactly the same way. Yes, Grasshopper, one of those moments. Initially, well, as you imagine, in your seminar with the 227 people in Philadelphia, there are people from all walks of life, including people working from Fortune 500 companies. And that was 81. It was just a little earlier than that. One of the participants who'd come through was a director of training for Scott Paper Company, which, of course, no longer exists. And he had discretionary budget. He loved the training. He said, why don't we put this on for Scott Paper Company employees? So we did one. And Phil Lippincott, who was then the CEO, heard about the seminar, came by the graduation on a Sunday evening, and we brought him in, and I just said, well, folks, here's your CEO. Anybody have anything you want to share with Mr. Lippincott? And so people started talking to him. He had come in to help turn the company around. It was going through hard times. It was undergoing a hostile takeover bid. And employees, including a senior vice president, stood up and said, you know, I've been fighting you every step of the way. Now I see it's not about you. It's about me. I'm here to support and help this succeed. And these two gentlemen are now standing in front of each other in one of the most empathic, heartfelt moments you could imagine, especially in a corporation. That led Mr. Lippincott saying, I don't know what's happened here, but this is really important in Scott Paper Company. We will do more of this. And he had me train about 500 of his most senior people across the company.
On that, we've got to take a break again. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's shift into the corporate world, and we'll talk a little bit about that. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis, Speaking of Health, with Russell Bishop. We'll be right back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas, remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
You read about it in health news every day.
Cancer rates are going up. Obesity in the U.S. is on the rise. Heart disease and diabetes are top killers every year.
We can follow the advice of our doctor, but cravings persist. Weight goes up and energy is still down. It doesn't have to be like this. Tune in for Body Balance Talk with your host, Jeannie Schmidt, along with Lucy and Madeline. You'll learn how you can work with your body to feel better and look better, too. Body Balance Talk airs live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hi, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here with Russell Bishop. And we're talking about, it almost reminds me of the old educational definition came from Socrates or Plato, that we're really just sort of awakening what we already know. And then, of course, you're doing this in a heartfelt manner, a loving manner, which I think allows us to own that and embrace it, as opposed to trying to internalize it mentally. It's much easier to absorb into the heart, I think, than to learn into the brain here with what you're talking about. And so this led you into the corporate world, and was it necessary to alter what you were bringing into the corporate world? Was a message the same, only translated into corporatees, or what?
Well, that was a learning process. The initial foray was doing exactly the same seminar as we did for the general public, which was very much an interpersonal and intrapersonal exercise. And when we got into the corporate world and that started to expand, we discovered that that was a little too direct for the average bear working in a job. They didn't sign up for personal awareness as a person would have were they signing up for the general public course. So we began to morph it using the same questions. It's interesting that you noted the educational notion. The word education comes from a Latin word which means to lead out or draw out, mm-hmm. which then suggests that the knowledge or information is already in there. We just have to bring it forward. And most corporations are working from more of a teaching model, which is the one I say where all you do is you unscrew the head, you pour stuff in, and you screw the head back on, and you hope they got it. If
or at least pretend from, like they do.
Yeah, and there's a certain degree of success a business can have in the world with that command and control environment. But sooner or later, people get tired of always being told what to do, and they go into different directions. Some give up. Some go into active resistance. You know, there's all kinds of things that go on. So when I consult with an organization today, one of the things I like to have them do is show me job descriptions. When they show me job descriptions and it says, this role does this, does that, does the other thing, I'm able to say pretty clearly and quickly, no wonder you're struggling. And people, well, what do you mean? Well, your job description is very clear. It tells people what to do. But where is where to think. If you change your job description from activity to responsibility and say the person is responsible for producing A and B and X and Y, they now have outcomes they're responsible for. And you've just invited the whole person to show up, not just arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the whole person shows up, they get to start asking the questions, well, how else could we get there? Is there an even better way than the one we've done before? And that's where innovation comes from.
Okay,
people are responsible for outcomes. You'll never innovate if all your people do is just perform tasks in some strict process system.
Yeah, no more automatons, but actual human beings with a heartfelt interest in the job that they have. And I think most people come that way, with a heartfelt interest, and then they go, oh, you don't want that. Oh, you don't want this. Okay, tell me what you want. I'll supply it. And their creativity goes right down the tubes.
And we become numb.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge is that pretty much in chiropractic or in any of the healing arts, whether it's allopathic or alternative, there's still a little process that one goes through in the diagnostic and treatment. But what you're asking people to do in the kind of work you're doing is also become a co-healer. And you have to use your insight and intuition and they theirs in order to move back and forth between the process, which may have some very specific steps you go through, but then there's now what do we really do with what we're discovering?
Most
organizations are devoid of that awareness and reliance on the native intelligence, awareness, and intuition of the people who work there.
That's so interesting because when I work with people, you know, they'll say, well, how did you know that? What are you, reading my mind? What is this? And you know, I just say, well, no. I'm listening very closely to what you're saying. And, you know, in effect, I'm listening multidimensionally on the different levels of what the person is saying. And they're participating. And when somebody says to me, geez, thank you for this. This is so good. You're such a wonderful healer. It's like, well, you know, I'm following what you're telling me to do, and your body's the one doing the healing. So be sure to go home, look in the mirror, and honor yourself as well as you're thanking me. And you're welcome for what I do, and be sure to be welcoming for yourself. Do you find that most people take better care of others than they take care of themselves?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's any number of reasons behind that. But, you know, there's a large sort of generic consciousness that people share somehow of, I'm not worthy, and it's not okay for me too. Maybe it's our puritanical heritage that just seeps through. But, yeah, yeah, I think that's very true. And, of course, the dilemma there is if I haven't taken care of me, how could I possibly take good care of you?
Yeah, there's not enough of me to really take care of you if I don't take care of me first. And yet, I can remember my auditorium teacher in the Detroit Public Schools when I was in third grade say, don't be a me-firster. And so we come to a flight of stairs, and the person says, go ahead. And you go, no, I'm not going to be a me first, or you go ahead. And the other person says, no, you go ahead. And no, and then nobody goes up the stairs. So nothing gets accomplished there. So with insight, now the insight one came with the awakening heart. You translate this into business, open up so that the true human, the complete human can show up the marketplace, in the corporate world, if you will. And then there's like Insight 2 and Insight 3 and Insight 4. How did those other seminars develop as well?
Well, Insight 1, the Awakening Heart, when that was all done the first time, there were 150 people in the first course, and 126 of them called, wrote, or came by and said, we'd like an advanced version. and there wasn't one. But that kind of looked like, oh, that's interesting. So began to look and say, well, okay, so if we've awakened the heart, what comes next? Well, maybe that's opening the heart. And so Insight 2 is the Opening Heart seminar.
Okay.
And we go more deeply into core issues that cause people to walk through life in a defensive posture. Well, defensive could be closed down. Defensive could be very aggressive. But all the things that don't serve us are the ways people have learned to try to protect their heart. But the more they protect it, the more damage they actually live.
That's a limited size seminar. You only have a few people, relatively speaking, in there, correct?
Right. Right.
And is that so that you can address that individual more specifically?
Yes, in the Insight 2, we're working much more deeply over a longer period of time. It's 5 full days. And the really central themes there are, what are your limiting behaviors and beliefs that cause you to live from a contracted space into the world? And in so doing, cut you off both from other people's loving, but maybe more importantly, cut you off from your own. And
okay,
as we get that limiting set of behaviors, beliefs, and approaches to life better defined, we can then go into the expansive elements. So if that's what closes you down, what is it that opens you up, and how do we affirm that into your life? Now, that's a very individual process. You know, so what is true for you will be different from what's true for me. The thing we share in common is we both have behaviors and ways of being we learned that constrict and contract, but we also have ways we can learn to expand and to grow. So it's about moving from contraction to expansion and then anchoring in those positive, expansive qualities.
So if Earth is a school and we're here to learn lessons, it sounds to me like this Insight series is sort of like going to college as being a human being.
Yeah, we could use that metaphor, sure. And then there's more graduate school after that.
Which it comes out as what?
Well, living from with an open heart, sometimes there's another step there, which is learning to live in an open and neutral heart. Neutral is a very misunderstood concept. It's not a question of, I don't care, I'm neutral. It's a question of, how do I go through and experience what's happening absent of judgment and in the presence of acceptance? And acceptance doesn't mean I like it. It's just like I have a very good friend who was horribly burned in a motorcycle crash. It burned his face off, his fingers off. I mean, literally just off. And he wasn't supposed to live, but he did. And when he came out of that 3 years later, he then wound up in a small airplane crash and wound up paralyzed.
Wow.
So you want to talk about difficult circumstances? His name is Mitchell. He has a fabulous book, and it's called It's Not What Happens to You, It's What You Do About It.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to say, before I was paralyzed, there were 10,000 things I could do. Now there's 9,000. Should I cry about the 1,000 I lost or celebrate the 9 I have?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a living example, and if your listeners are interested, his website is wmitchell.com. And there's videos of him talking about what this experience was like and his lessons. But he talks powerfully about, excuse me, but it's focus. And that's my choice, not your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I focus on, I'm going to get more of in life. He's a living testimony that it's not your condition, it's your response to the condition. And that's the core essence of Insight. And what I'm saying there for him is he had to accept the burns, the disfigurement, and the paralysis, and then he could move forward.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have to like it, just had to accept it.
Yeah. Now, with mentioning websites, give us your website so people can follow up and learn more about you. We've got to take a break, but let us have the website, and then we'll go to the break.
Sure. My website is my name. It's russellbishop.com. Russell has two S's and two L's, so www.russellbishop.com.
Perfect. And this is Dr. Michael Cudlis. We're on Speaking of Health with Russell Bishop, whom you can get at russellbishop.com with two S's and two L's. And we'll be right back.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Every day we face struggles and issues concerning addiction, whether it's ourselves, family members, friends, or other loved ones. On Overcoming Addiction, Hope with Prevention, Intervention, and Treatment, Dr. Joe Terhar helps us all better understand the causes and approaches to addressing addiction with the knowledge that no single approach is 100% effective. From guest experts, families, and addicts, you'll hear about what is and is not working in overcoming addiction. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness. Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlisspeakingofhealth@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hi, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here, Speaking of Health, with Russell Bishop, whom you can contact at www.russellbishop.com. And Russell, now you have a book. Give us a little information. Is that book along the lines of everything we've been talking about today?
Yes, it is. Years ago, Ariana, whom I've known for a very, very long time, over 40 years, asked me to start writing a column for the Huffington Post, and I did so. And I was looking at all these same issues about awareness, choice, responsibility, you know, how do you create the life you want instead of the one you've settled for, that kind of thing. And it turned out that the publisher for McGraw-Hill Business Books had been following my articles, contacted me, and asked if I would write a book for them. And he had a title, and the title was Workarounds That Work. Now, initially, they were thinking I was going to write a book about how do you sneak by systems in an organization and kind of do things behind the curtain, if you will. And I took the workaround and said, well, a workaround in sailing is called a jury rig, so if you're out sailing and your mast breaks, what do? You know, you can whine, complain, and moan, and you're still dead in the water, so you create a workaround. You may take an oar and strap it to what's left and put a sheet up, and it may not be a perfect sail, but at least you got something to get going. And so I turned the notion of that they wanted done into this one of workarounds. How do you get things going when they get stuck in an organization? And so it's a book not of management theory, but a book sharing actual experiences working with clients in different settings. And I actually wrote that book here in Hawaii. And it's a lovely book, all full of examples of people who are dealing with awareness, choice, and responsibility.
Yeah, which allows them then to think out of the box, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, huge. It's again, it's that notion of is it a job description? A person does this, or are they responsible for an outcome? As an example, I was working with an aerospace corporation who was designing a laser, and it took them 3 years to get the first model built so they could test it, which was 2 years late. And in order to get the contract renewed, they had to promise they'd get the second one done in a year. So I came in to work with the team. And amongst other little things, we found, here's an interesting one, whenever there was a problem, which in engineering terms they call a non-conformance event, so something didn't work the way you thought it would, the problem had to be shipped off to three different offices in three different states for three different teams to analyze, and they had to share it all back and forth, and it took an average of 76 days to solve any one problem. And delay in the project amounted to $1 million a day. So at 76 days of problem, you could see this was a pretty big issue.
Yeah.
So we worked with the team and said, well, you know, what could we do? And someone came up with the idea that said, why don't we just build a conference room right here in the hangar, and why don't we hire the people from the three different companies and put them in the conference room, and every time we have a problem, they just walk down the stairs over to the conference room and say, next problem. It reduced the time for resolution from 76 days to 3 days.
Yeah, I would imagine the cost was it still $1 million a day?
It was still $1 million a day for late.
But holy macro, what a savings overall.
It was huge. And we delivered the project in 1 year and 2 days.
Hmm.
And no one thought it was possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the interesting thing, I think, when it comes with that idea that if I don't think it's possible, it probably isn't. But if I go to a neutral space, I get to see things from a different place, and the impossible then becomes, oh, we just have to do it this way.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, we're coming up to the close of the show. This hour flies by faster than every week for me. It flies by faster than I want it to be. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about the things that, not necessarily the things that you've done in your life, but the way that they can make their lives better?
Well, I think, again, you really need to focus on it. And here's a little exercise a person can do. If your listeners will take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle, and on the left-hand side, list all the things that they really would like to have in their life. And by things, I mean physical, tangible things or symbols of things. So that could be, again, the job, the house, the car, money, you know, whatever it might be. And the dream vacation, you know, whatever. And when you finish all the list on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, go one by one and ask yourself, if I got that thing on the left, what do I hope I will be experiencing? What's the positive experience? And when a person gets that done, they probably don't have to go more than two or three items down the list, and they start to find out it's all the same. The object of focus is different, but the experience they're looking for is the same, and that's going to be the big clue. And so then you can start asking yourself, well, if the thing I'm looking for is, say, acceptance and security and peace of mind, what could I do today to be more accepting, to be more peaceful, to be more secure? And start building the experience you seek day by day, choice by choice, and then use those experiences to help you make choices to produce the objects that you're going after. Even if you don't get the object, you'll get the experience.
Which is what you wanted to begin with.
That's what we wanted at the end of the day.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us, Russell. I really appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to another end of our show. And I just want to say to you, always remember the nine magic words, as they will transform your life. That's God bless you, I love you, peace be still. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis, speaking of health. We've been with Russell Bishop at russellbishop.com. Check him out. There's a lot of good things for you there. See you next week. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Speaking of Health. Please join Dr. Michael Cudlis again next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a heartfelt and healthy week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.